This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. military canceled some daytime operations by CH-47 Chinook helicopters Monday after Iraqi insurgents downed one the day before, killing 16 soldiers and wounding 21 others. The Coalition Press Information Center said that a few flights were canceled and that security procedures were in place to protect ongoing trips. The military earlier had said only nighttime flights would continue. The decision to limit flights came a day after insurgents shot down one of two helicopters carrying dozens of soldiers on their way to Baghdad Airport and rest and relaxation leave. It was the heaviest U.S. death toll in any single action since the invasion of Iraq on March 20th. Senator Bob Graham, who ended his bid for the Democratic nomination for president last month, announced Monday that he will not seek re-election to a fourth term in the U.S. Senate. Graham said he wants to continue his public work, including creating an institute to train future Florida leaders and helping to improve national security. He also wants to spend more time with his wife, Adele, his children, and grandchildren. The decision further complicates Democrats' hopes to regain control of the Senate, where Republicans hold a 51-48 majority with one Democratic-leaning independent. The Supreme Court refused Monday to enter the battle over a monument depicting the Ten Commandments and the renegade judge who wants to put it back on display in an Alabama courthouse. The court quietly rejected appeals from suspended Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, who had argued the monument properly acknowledges God as the source of the community morality so essential to a self-governing society. Moore was suspended as Chief Justice after defying a federal court order to remove the monument. He goes on trial before the Alabama Court of the Judiciary on November 12th on judicial ethics violation charges. More IE American News after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
The oldest person in the world, Kamato Hongo, died on Friday at age 116, a spokesman for a hospital in southern Japan said. She had been in hospital in the city of Kagoshima for several weeks, according to a relative. Born in 1887, when Japan was gradually opening up to the world after more than two centuries of isolation, Hongo was known for her love of dancing and for sleeping 2 days and then staying awake for the next two. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Sometimes I miss the old days. Remember back when war profiteering actually was thought to be a bad thing? Indeed, Harry Truman considered it treason. But hey, that's so old school. In these modern times of corporate coziness with Washington, war profiteering is business as usual, just another of the entitlements that flow from corporate campaign contributions. And far from denouncing it, top officials applaud it, ably assist it, and even become profiteers themselves. Dick Halliburton Cheney, for example, is the poster boy of the ever-revolving door between the Pentagon and war profiteers. But now, multi-billion dollar profiteering by such names as Halliburton, Bechtel, and Boeing has become such a booming business that a new kind of corporate consultant has sprung up, profiteering facilitator. These are political insiders who use their Washington connections to help paying clients get fat government contracts from us taxpayers to do this or that in Iraq. Many of these boondoggles are awarded out of the political offices of the White House and Pentagon with no competitive bids and little or no congressional oversight. Among the profiteering facilitators to set up shop is Joe Albaugh, a longtime Texas political crony of George W.'s who was appointed honcho of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, Joe has spun through the government's revolving door to open New Bridge Strategies, getting huge fees paid by corporations that want Joe's guidance on getting a piece of that $87 billion that the Bushites are dumping into Iraq this year. Of course, facilitators like Joe see no ethical conflict in profiteering on their connections. Albaugh has proven to be ethically clueless, saying, "Because my friend is president of the United States, I'm supposed to check out of life?" This is Jim Hightower saying, "No, Joe, just check out of being a corrupt pig."
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by... Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, one and all. Tony Trupiano with you, and a pleasure to be with you. It's a pleasure to be on the network, as always, most recently of the Radio Free Speech Zone. I'll be spending tonight and tomorrow night with you as Mike is taking a few nights off. He will be back on Thursday. I do a very interactive show. That means you need to participate. A couple different ways you can do that. And I'll ask you to either call the show at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Or you can send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. tony@thetonyshow.com. Either way works. And, again, I like to do an interactive program, so I want you to participate. I've got an issue that I'm going to bring up that it's affecting me personally. I need some input on. I'm also going to bring some of my favorite guests along a little later on in the show tonight. And so let's get things started. First of all, I've got my cup of coffee. I have just lit a long-filtered Kool. I'm ready to go. I am absolutely ready to rock. Let me just preface what I'm about to talk about, and then I'm going to read a letter. And I need some input in because there's some controversy in my hometown. I live in the Detroit area, and I happen to live in a part of Detroit called Dearborn Heights, and there's a large Arab American population here. And I tell you that for a reason, and I'm asking for some guidance here because I'm not quite happy with the situation that came down yesterday and involves the school system. This will all make sense in just a moment, but I need your input on this. There is a national organization out of Washington, D.C. called the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, or ADC. And you can find them on the web at www.adc.org, adc.org. We have a local chapter here in the Metro Detroit area, and there's a very good reason why we have a chapter, because we have the highest concentration of Arab Americans outside the Middle East living right where I live. I mean, they're right here, and for the most part, absolutely not a problem. The letter. If you're familiar with the Muslim religion, this is Ramadan. It's a very religious, holy holiday. a request was made by the Arab community here in the Detroit area to ask this particular school district that I live in, that my kids go to school in, for a week off because they want the students to be able to give that holiday its due, that religious holiday its due. Here's where the problem comes in. Teachers have a collective bargaining agreement. This was not part of their collective bargaining agreement, and so they did not grant them their request. Are you following me so far? I'm going to now read your letter. I am going to omit a few names because I want to protect some of the people involved here. But I want to read this letter to you in its entirety, and then I need you to help me out here because I'm going to tell you where I come from once I've read the letter. Again, the number is 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. This letter was addressed to the school board president of the district that I live in, and it reads, "This letter is in regards to the current debate that is taking place about whether or not the assistant superintendent followed administrative procedures in negotiating a formal school closure in recognition of the end of the Ramadan Islamic holiday. This matter has been brought to our attention by concerned parents of students in the school district, members of the Arab American community, and numerous educators within the Dearborn Heights school system. It is important to note that efforts to recognize the Islamic Eid holiday, or it may be Eid holiday, for the large are not only an indication of cultural sensitivity, but also promote the concept of diversity, which I'm sure we all value. So far, no problem. Now, as you may be aware from prior years, the vast majority of Muslim students take this holiday off, regardless of whether or not it is a sanctioned school holiday. Therefore, because of the potential loss of some state funding as a result of the limited attendance of its students, it is in the best interest of the school to authorize Eid or Ayid as a holiday for all students, as is done with Christmas, Thanksgiving, and various other occasions. Keeping in mind, the only religious holiday quoted there would be Christmas. Here is the absolute essential paragraph. We are urging you to thoroughly review this matter and consider the various concerns before making an ultimate decision. Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramifications and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. This is why we further urge the school board not to individualize the issue and jeopardize the position of any of the fine staff of the Dearborn Heights Public Schools. The letter concludes, we wish to resolve the issue in the best interest of the school and the affected student population. Thank you for your time. I look forward to hearing from you. Now, it was signed by Ahmad Hamad, who is the ADC Michigan director. Do you believe, as I do, I'm going to let you know my bias up front, that this paragraph was a threat? But we are urging you to thoroughly listen closely, review this matter, and consider the various concerns before making an ultimate decision. Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramifications and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. Was that or was that not, in your opinion, a direct threat to the school board and to the decision makers of this district? And if it was, what kind of diversity does that promote? 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. I'm going to go to the phones. I'm going to welcome, I believe it's Shaden in Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, sir. You know, I want to speak about Haley Barbour and Musgrove and all that because what I'm sort of, I got my sights on was Howard Dean because he sort of, played into, you know, the governor's race that they had and everything with the Confederate flag and all. And I think Dean, I think, is sort of like out of his, you would say, race category or something. Not meaning the race as in race of people, but I think, you know, he's he has Democratic aspirations, but I live in the South and everything like that, and this is a stronghold for the Republican Party. And I think Howard Dean, like Senator Kerry and Wesley Clark said, he wants to have his cake and eat it too. Which means,
well, how's that? Time on it. Explain to me why you feel he wants to have his cake and eat it too. His comment was that he wants to reach out to Confederate flag waving, basically rednecks in the South.
Pickup truck.
What's wrong with that?
Well, he's saying, like, you know, if you know the demographics and you know the class affiliation, the majority of those citizens are Republicans. Now, truth be it known, he wants to be a Democratic presidential candidate, but he also wants to appeal to Republican, you know, based individuals. So, I mean, how do you have it both ways? You can't be a Democratic president and then reach out for Republican votes because you're not going to get them. So
why can't you make the attempt?
Huh?
Why can't you make the attempt? What's wrong with making the attempt?
Because it won't work. Because trust me, I live here in the South. I'm not from here. But if you've ever been here, I don't know if you've ever been to South Carolina, Mississippi.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. But Confederate Americans are strong in what they believe. I mean, these Dixiecrats, that's what they call them, back to Strom Thurmond and everything like that.
Right.
They are totally against Democrats, liberal thinking and all that and everything. I mean, they're so close-minded as to where I live at here. When we took that flag off the state house and everything like that, there's an individual here that had restaurants. As soon as we brought the state house, he shot it up on the lanyard, and he has a lot of restaurants. All you see is a Confederate flag. So it's just like, hey, you know, we might have lost the war, but now we're winning battle little by little on all these restaurants and everything. And when you go around this place, you see, welcome to the South, now go home, or keep your powder dry, fella, the South is going to rise again and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They want nothing to do with Democrats. You mean?
Are you a Democrat or Republican?
I'm an independent.
You're an independent.
Oh, yeah, I'm independent.
Are you happy with the job this president's doing?
Actually, no, not at all. I'm a vet, too. I'm a vet from the Cold War, and I was in Kuwait. I got called up to September 11th. You know, I wouldn't criticize him for going to war because I was part of that when I went to Kuwait. We was over there, protecting American interests. You know, those interests might have been gas and oil or whatever, but when you sign up, you do what the president tells you. So I went over there. But looking at the war and its aftermath, because I had two brother-in-laws that were in the Army. And I've got a good friend over there now in Iraq and all that. And they actually got hit by fire, but they're all right. Vehicle back them got hit by fire. And the thing about it is, I think it's come a point where the Iraqi, you know, forces that have been trained and everything need to be in a place, and this interim government needs to just fully just go be officially recognized and everything. And we need to pull our troops out of there, I mean, right now, because before it's going to get better, it's going to get worse.
Well, in the next hour, and I want you to pay attention when we get to the next hour, there was a report that came out that we're going to talk about with a guest in the next hour from the Defense Department that shows that not only drug use and rape of Iraqi women, but suicides are skyrocketing among U.S. troops in Iraq. We have enough problems trying to keep our men and women safe with the technology that we have, the faltering technology that we have. You're right. We need to bring our young men and women home, and we'll talk about that in great detail in the next hour. But I don't think that Howard Dean has done anything wrong by reaching out to a group of people that perhaps aren't living in the reality that you and I are living in, to be honest with you. That there's nothing wrong with trying to reach out to these folks. It's better than ignoring them, because at least he's making an effort. You don't agree with that?
I see your point and everything, but I'll just have to agree to disagree with you.
All right. I appreciate your call a great deal. Again, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-825-5937. Or tony@thetonyshow.com. Again, I've read a letter from the ADC, the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, making a threat to the school board of my local community. Do you feel it was a threat or am I overreacting? Let's take the break. We'll be back on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
You've got your green alligators and long-neck geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Truppiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back 24 minutes after the hour. Is this or is this not a direct threat? Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramification and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. Am I overreacting, or has my school district been held hostage by Arab-American rage? That is the question I'm asking you. And if I were to have written this letter to the Arab-American Discrimination Committee, would I be in jail right now is the other question. 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go to the phones. We'll welcome Armin in Florida. Armin, how are you? What's on your mind?
How are you?
Well, I'm a little upset, actually.
Well, here's my opinion for what it's worth.
Well, it's worth something.
I say let them have the Ramadan worship day.
Well, they don't want a day. They want an entire week.
Well, let them have it. Let me tell you why. I don't hear a lot of Christians complaining about running their Christian lights off the Arab oil on their pagan holiday, do you?
You know, Armin, we're not even comparing apples to apples here. I asked a specific question. Was that paragraph a threat? Was it a physical threat?
Not in my opinion.
Let me reread it to you. Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramifications and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. How do you read that, Armin?
Well, that could be interpreted a thousand different ways.
Well, give me one. Give me one, Armin.
I don't interpret it to be a threat.
Well, then how do you interpret it?
I feel that they're very unhappy in the way things are right now. That doesn't mean it's a threat.
Are you out of your mind? Would you listen to this language one more time, Armin? Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramifications and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. You don't find that to be a threat?
Not necessarily, I don't.
Now, let me ask you the other question that I asked, is if I were to have written this letter to that group, would I be in jail right now?
I would be a racist.
I would be a racist. I would be a political bigot. I would be called every name in the book. I would be called insensitive. I would be called part of the anti-Arab American movement in this country had I have used that language against this group, and you know it.
Well, that's your opinion.
Armin, I'm absolutely... So you still haven't offered me an alternative, then. What does that sentence say to you?
It doesn't necessarily say anything.
Armin, you're not answering my question. If you're not going to answer the question, I'm not going to keep you on the air.
Well, I'm not going to say what you want me to say. That's not free speech zone.
And this isn't the free speech zone, and I'm not trying to put
not?
Words...
I thought you said it was.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. This is
well,
the
then
question.
Well, don't do it. If you're
Armin,
not trying to, don't do it. You asked me a
you're
question,
the one,
I told you.
You're the one that said to me that it's not a threat. It could mean any one
I
of a thousand things.
Opinion,
and I said, give me one. Give me one alternative, Armin. You can't give me one. You're just disagreeing to disagree with me.
Well, see, there you go. You're telling me to not put words in your mouth or you're not putting them in mine, and then you're turning around and contradicting yourself by putting words in my mouth that I didn't say.
So tell me, give me an alternative meaning to that sentence.
Well, you're framing the argument. You sound like a conservative, and I didn't think you was a conservative.
You know, Armin, thanks for calling. Please, do me a favor, don't call back. Honestly, don't tell me it could mean one of a thousand things and then not have an alternative to what it might mean. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm a conservative. Please. Please. 1-800-825-5937. Don't call the show again. I'm sure Mike doesn't want to hear from you either. Don't call the show again, Armin. 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. If it's not a threat, then what is it? Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramifications and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. I need an opinion. Is it just me? Maybe it is just me. Give me a call. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
The thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. Malloy will be back Thursday. You got me today and tomorrow. Maybe it is me, but I'm telling you, I'm reading the language once again. Maybe I'm overdoing it. Rushing into decisions that involve such sensitive issues might bring serious ramifications and unexpected, unhealthy consequences. Help me out, folks. 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. Go to the phones. Henry in San Diego. Henry, welcome to the program. Henry, are you with us?
This isn't Henry. This is Elliot in Kentucky. Is that who you want to talk to?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll be happy to talk to you.
You know, I do want to talk to you. You were just on the top of my screen, and you were covered up. Elliot, welcome to the show. I'm sorry.
Hey, how are you? When I first heard that, Tony, before you said anything what your opinion was, I said, boy, that is really a threat. And I don't know how any of these people could face somebody else who talked to them like that and didn't think that they were threatened pretty severely. That's very dangerous talk, and it's very clear. Anybody who doesn't hear that doesn't know how to work their way through life.
Well, you know, Elliot, here's the concern for me. I'm all for religious tolerance.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm certainly sensitive to this religious holiday. There's a factor here that I need to share with people. Ramadan is not the same day or the same month every year.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on a lunar cycle, and so it is different every year. It rotates around the calendar. So there will actually come a time when Ramadan happens in the non-school months of the year, so then it won't be an issue. We also have a collective bargaining agreement in place with the teachers. They can't just go change that willy-nilly. Then this letter comes with the threat. The second part of my question was, and you obviously agreed that it was a threat, Elliot, had I have written this letter to them, where would I be today?
You'd probably be in hot water. I don't know if you'd be in jail or not, but you'd be very uncomfortable. You'd be having some problems, and you wouldn't be allowed to do this. But there's something else here. Christmas is traditional. It's more of a traditional holiday. It's a traditional American holiday. It's more than just a Christian holiday. There are people of all different religions who celebrate the spirit of Christmas, have trees, give gifts, and they might not even be Christians, but a lot of people do that. But it's an old American tradition. They don't give days off for a Passover or for Hanukkah, and for other Buddhist religions or whatever. We have freedom. We have separation of church and state. This is not.
And you know what? And I would have no problem if we decided to do this. But you can't do it with threats.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, that makes it a black and white stance of two enemies when you do it like that. And I think that you can cause a lot of trouble.
All right, Elliot, I appreciate you calling, and I'm glad that you took the time to give me your opinion. By the way, I want to go back to the Armin thing. Somebody just sent me an email that Armin's right, that as soon as I didn't get the answer I wanted, that I started arguing with him. You obviously, Barbara, weren't listening. He didn't give me an answer. I do not and will not tolerate people that only want to talk about problems and not solutions. He didn't give me an answer, Barbara. So if you've already tuned out, I'm sorry. Sorry you missed this. You didn't get it. You can't say there are 1,000 explanations for something and then not have one to back it. Please. Please, Barbara. 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go back to the phones. Now we've got Henry in San Diego. Henry, how are you?
Oh, good. I finally got you this time. All right. Oh, yeah. It sounded like you were getting a little frustrated there a little bit.
Well, you know, come on. The guy calls the show and says, well, no, I don't agree with you. There could be 1,000 explanations. Well, then give me one.
Well,
that's all I was saying. Give me an explanation.
I'm actually coming from his perspective. I'm not even sure because I didn't really hear him say anything that would offer you a possible different perspective. And that's what I was calling about, to offer you perhaps a different perspective.
And I'm open to that. Give me a different perspective.
Okay. One is that, like, for example, is it possible that the context of the letter written was in, like, personalized? So, in other words, for them, you know, for my, like, is it possible that if you had a really deeply religious family and you felt and you believed so deeply in your religious convictions that something that if you had to send your kids somewhere when they're not supposed to go according to your religion, that would be unhealthy, and that in your mind the person that wrote the letter could have unexpected and unhealthy results? Is that possible?
All right. It is possible, but you have to understand that it was written by the executive director of the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, not a dad. It wasn't one dad that has firm religious beliefs sending this letter off to somebody on the school board. It was the executive director of this group.
Okay. Again, like, it's perhaps somebody that heads a delegation or somebody that heads a group that feels so strongly about what they believe. They believe that doing something that would be against what they believe would be unhealthy and possibly resulting, you know, in unhealthy results or unexpected and unhealthy results.
But I read you the entire letter, and if you didn't hear it all, I certainly don't want to go through and read the entire letter again. And I'm open to what you're saying, Henry. I'm not saying that that isn't a possibility, but and maybe they chose the wrong words. But you've got to understand that in a volatile situation, words and the way you communicate them are vital.
I totally concur with you. I absolutely concur with you, yes.
I will tell you that part of the action that was taken after this letter was received is that the FBI was called in, the local police, and the Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, so they were called in?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. You can't take something like this lightly.
No, I would think that right now we're on such alert that absolutely no. I mean, in fact, I was in an airplane once when a young kid that had a backpack was on an airplane, and people on the airplane was actually the month after 9/11, and I was going to New York, and it was quite a scene. People were yelling at this kid, and they were afraid. All these people were afraid. So what I'm saying is that also it's possible that people can overreact and react to something that they perceive. And this poor kid got, you know, he was a law school student. It turned out the captain called the FBI. They pulled the file, the dossier on this guy, while we were sitting there. And then the captain made a decision. Actually, the kid made a decision. He said, "I don't have to stay on the plane," and he got off. He felt insulted, and he got off the plane. So at that point, we had to all get off the plane and have the plane inspected inch by
right.
inch.
Yeah. Right, and I've got some other callers. Let me first of all thank you for calling. Secondly, explain. You know, I live in a community that is 30-40% Arab American. I'm not insensitive to the Arab American and the Muslim traditions. I'm not insensitive to that at all. What I am upset about is the threat that I feel was made. And by the way, the emails are coming in. People feel the same way. I'll read one that is slightly different in just a moment. But the reality is, even if the intent wasn't meant as a physical threat, it certainly comes across that way. Had I written that letter to them, I would be in big, big trouble as you and I talk right now. Again, 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go to Randy, I believe, in Connecticut. Randy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi, Randy.
Lynn, my name is.
Oh, this is Lynn. Okay. Well, Lynn, welcome
to
the show.
I'm in New York.
Yes.
I'm in New York.
That's okay. I'm just following what's on the screen, but I'll take Lynn in New York. You're also on my screen, Lynn.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I would like to see the where exactly that was printed, if it's possible, so I can read it entirely myself.
If you have a fax number, I can fax it to you after the show.
Okay. My friend does.
Okay,
you can,
we'll put you on hold when you and I are done and Jason can get your fax number.
All right, but the one comment I just have to make is I think there's too much, like, intolerance completely with as far as both ways, all kinds of religion. I heard from the guy from the South, which was disturbing, how he, about the Confederate flag and about how the people just said, you know, now go home and that kind of stuff. And they, you know, and you may have won, but now we're taking over little by little. And I guess it's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of intolerance, a whole lot of anger among everyone. And it's sort of like hitting a brewing point. I don't know how much longer our conscience and our emotions are going to be able to handle this. We're all becoming victims of this anger from every side, every which way, from the right, the left, the south, the different religions. It's just a bombardment of hatred, and it's such a sad thing to see America going down tubes like this in a bombardment of hate.
You know, I'm so glad, Lynn, that you said that because, again, understanding that there was a dialogue that was going on, a negotiation that was going on before this letter came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that negotiation was, listen, we need to recognize that you have a large populace within your school district that celebrates a very religious holiday. We want time to be able to celebrate that properly. Nobody is refuting that that is something that needs to be discussed. And needs to be evaluated. No question
yeah.
about that. But we're also talking about a middle of a school year where you can't change the calendar because there are unions involved, there are parental schedules involved, et cetera, et cetera. To further a dialogue, you do not send either a threatening letter. Somebody just sent me an email that said, well, it sounds like a legal issue. Okay? You don't threaten when you want something and it doesn't go your way this time.
I think it would be nice if the school handled it in such a way. First of all, if the letter wasn't written that way, and secondly, if the school handled it, they had so many students that they set up a special area for the students to do crafts and things that had to do with their holiday and do practicing and amongst each other. They could spend a separate hour, so then that could be worked out with the parents and the students. It would have been a great opportunity, you know, and even to bring some of the other kids into it to celebrate some aspects of the holiday or understand about it, too. It was turned all around bad.
It is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to learn how to communicate properly. It's a great opportunity to understand Islam better. Somebody just sent me an email, said I'm Islam bashing. You want to explain how I'm Islam bashing? Because I'm not. I've just gone out of my way to say I have no problem with the issue and evaluating the issue and figuring out a way to make this work within the structure of this school district.
Well, I don't think there's any place for any hate talk, you know?
I'm not doing hate talk.
Say you were, but the letter sounded quite hateful.
And I didn't write the letter.
You didn't write it, Tony. Calm down. I'm from New York. I'm with you here.
and so I'm just saying that, you know, and I don't see, here's the deal. Somebody's going to, and there's a meeting as we're speaking going on at the school. Obviously, I couldn't be there because I had committed to doing Mike's show tonight. Mm-hmm. Or I would be there.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. There is a discussion going on right now. I can assume that it's getting extremely heated, that there have been portions of that meeting tonight that have been absolutely ugly.
Yeah.
All because somebody in the community that works for the Arab American Discrimination Committee decided on the wrong choice of words to use to ask for what they wanted. And I see it as a direct threat to the person the letter was addressed to.
Well, one would only hope that that person can come forward and say that this is not what I meant and that I used a wrong choice of words and that maybe we can all sit down. I mean, I think that people need to sit down and understand one another, and I don't think a letter written that way or any other threats that George Bush happens to make or anyone else should be tolerated because it's not proper. It's just not right. It's not a good way for our society to be. You know, that man's threat was no less than George Bush's threat. If you're not with us, you're against us. You know, it's not nobody's right when they talk that way. It's not, you know, people need to understand that nobody is going to win when people begin to talk ugly to each other and to not want to sit down and say, hey, this is the issue. Let's sit down and talk. You know, we're all in this together. We're all in this world together. We're all walking along this world together in this day and age. We may never know when the end of the world is going to come, but we're all here now as human beings, you know. And I'm not preaching any kind of religion at all because I don't think that's my job, you know, being that I'm raised so far north, I feel I don't even know what the Confederate flag is. That's how far north. And by him saying that, it upsets me because I don't even know what it is yet. He would hate to see me because I talk like I'm from New York. I talk like I'm possibly from Canada. And, you know, and that's just hate because they don't even know me. It's just prejudiceness, you know.
Well, you're right. There is a lot of prejudice, and that's not – and again, anybody that's listened to this program from the top of the hour, this was not and never was intended to be an issue of Islam. It's an issue of communication, and it's an issue of not American tolerance towards Arab Americans, but Arab Americans' intolerance towards what they didn't get.
Well, it's the same thing with the old issue of the blacks and the whites. They get mad, you know, and then the whites get mad, and the brown people are in the middle going, what the hell's going on? You know, I mean, I'm Sicilian, and sometimes I look at the whites hate locking the doors when they pass the blacks, and I think to myself, luckily, I look Hispanic, and people, or I look, some people think I look Korean, some people think I look white, nobody knows quite what I am, and I have an easy time in life, and I see how bad it is for everyone else. And I think that I was blessed in order to be, I mean, I was interviewed by some people from Korean, from a Hong Kong newspaper. They came running up to me, and my eyes are slightly slanty, and I'm not sure why they are, but they they interviewed me, and then I have dark hair, and I like could be anybody. I look like anybody, and I thank God for that because I'm in a weird situation where everybody thinks I'm them.
Well,
and I think
again,
I was just blessed, you know?
Again, Lynn, I appreciate you taking the time to call. What I want to see happen here is I want to see a resolution to the problem.
Oh, sure, I do.
Because I live in this community. I want this problem resolved. But I certainly don't want it resolved with hatred and threatening language, is my point. We'll take a break. Madeline in Brooklyn, New York. When we come back, stay where you're at. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. 800-825-5937. Stay with us.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there!
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
more tissue?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief. Spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long itis. In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Marianne Williamson. I hope you'll join me on Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. We'll be talking about the youth debate sponsored by CNN and MTV Rock the Vote. We'll be listening to our guest, Dennis Kucinich, and he'll be listening to you. So join me Wednesday and every day as we change the world from the inside out.
All day, all night, Marianne.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Ma,
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. A few minutes left before the top of the hour. Let's quickly go to the phones. Madeline in Brooklyn, New York, has been waiting patiently. Madeline, welcome to the show. Your thoughts, please. I'm doing fine.
I listen to your show, the Free Speech Zone, at work, so I've heard you before.
Well, I'm glad you're with us.
What?
I said, I'm glad you're with us.
Yeah. Listen, a point to consider about this letter. If we take into account something like language barriers, I just feel that you're maybe not giving this guy enough leeway on a language barrier that you might on a non-Arab American.
All right, now I will accept your argument with the exception that he is the executive director of an organization that represents hundreds of thousands of people. You do not put somebody that has a language barrier in that role.
Yeah, be that as it may, that point is already passed. Now we're at the juncture where we have to discuss what happened, why it happened, and go from there. You can't fix, you're trying to close the barn door after the horse has already left, and that's not going to fly.
Well, this is what I promised to do. I will be here tomorrow. Mike will be back on Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow. Again, there's a meeting going on at the school as we speak, and I did drive by the school a little earlier tonight. Trust me, there were hundreds of people there.
Yeah, I just might check your level of intolerance. I mean, these are heated times, and I understand, but I think the fact that this guy is Muslim is coloring your opinion.
And no, that's just not true.
I've listened to you before, and I've enjoyed your shows in the past, but I've really got to take exception with you here.
Okay, so I've got to ask you the question. What have I said that has led you to believe that I am anti-Islam?
Because you're not giving this man the benefit of the doubt that I am sure you would give anybody else with a language barrier.
But you're making...
If this were an Italian-American who was, like, first generation, didn't speak the language so well, and was bringing up Italian points, you would be giving him a benefit of the doubt that you are not giving this man because he is Muslim.
All right. Well, we're going to... Now, you and I, Madeline, are going to have to agree to disagree. I appreciate your calling. We're out of time in this hour. We've got Al Martin in the next hour. You'll want to stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. Love calls, love emails, 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com is the email. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. Come back the other side of this. Stay with us.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, pathetic. Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why
me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Senator Bob Graham, who ended his bid for the Democratic nomination for president last month, announced Monday that he will not seek re-election to a fourth term in the U.S. Senate. Graham said he wants to continue his public work, including creating an institute to train future Florida leaders and helping to improve national security. He also wants to spend more time with his wife, Adele, his children, and grandchildren. The decision further complicates Democrats' hopes to regain control of the Senate, where Republicans hold a 51-48 majority with one Democratic-leaning independent. The Supreme Court refused Monday to enter the battle over a monument depicting the Ten Commandments and the renegade judge who wants to put it back on display in an Alabama courthouse. The court quietly rejected appeals from suspended Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, who had argued the monument properly acknowledges God as the source of the community morality so essential to a self-governing society. Moore was suspended as Chief Justice after defying a federal court order to remove the monument. He goes on trial before the Alabama Court of the Judiciary on November 12th on judicial ethics violation charges. The U.S. military canceled some daytime operations by CH-47 Chinook helicopters Monday after Iraqi insurgents downed one the day before, killing 16 soldiers and wounding 21 others. The Coalition Press Information Center said that a few flights were canceled and that security procedures were in place to protect ongoing trips. The military earlier had said only nighttime flights would continue. The decision to limit flights came a day after insurgents shot down one of two helicopters carrying dozens of soldiers on their way to Baghdad Airport and rest and relaxation leave. It was the heaviest U.S. death toll in any single action since the invasion of Iraq on March 20th. More IE American news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Polish undertaker was caught with his hearse packed with illegal cigarettes on Friday, Polish customs officers said. According to the report, a Pole from a local funeral firm was returning from neighboring Ukraine, where he said he had taken a cadaver. But customs officers searched the vehicle and found 3,200 cigarette packs hidden in secret compartments in the hearse. Gives a whole new meaning to the term coffin nails. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Sometimes I miss the old days. Remember back when war profiteering actually was thought to be a bad thing? Indeed, Harry Truman considered it treason. But hey, that's so old school. In these modern times of corporate coziness with Washington, war profiteering is business as usual, just another of the entitlements that flow from corporate campaign contributions. And far from denouncing it, top officials applaud it, ably assist it, and even become profiteers themselves. Dick Halliburton Cheney, for example, is the poster boy of the ever-revolving door between the Pentagon and war profiteers. But now, multi-billion dollar profiteering by such names as Halliburton, Bechtel, and Boeing has become such a booming business that a new kind of corporate consultant has sprung up, profiteering facilitator. These are political insiders who use their Washington connections to help paying clients get fat government contracts from us taxpayers to do this or that in Iraq. Many of these boondoggles are awarded out of the political offices of the White House and Pentagon with no competitive bids and little or no congressional oversight. Among the profiteering facilitators to set up shop is Joe Albaugh, a longtime Texas political crony of George W.'s who was appointed honcho of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, Joe has spun through the government's revolving door to open New Bridge Strategies, getting huge fees paid by corporations that want Joe's guidance on getting a piece of that $87 billion that the Bushites are dumping into Iraq this year. Of course, facilitators like Joe see no ethical conflict in profiteering on their connections. Albaugh has proven to be ethically clueless, saying, "Because my friend is president of the United States, I'm supposed to check out of life?" This is Jim Hightower saying, "No, Joe, just check out of being a corrupt pig."
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right now, right here, right now.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the Mike Malloy Show. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. Just to clean up some stuff from the last hour. A lot of emails came in. I appreciate all the calls. Obviously, it's one of these things where we're in disagreement on some issues and agreement on others. Some people think I'm unnecessarily seeing something that's not there. To me, it was a threatening letter. I asked your opinions. I got it, folks. It's that simple. But there was nothing anti-Islamic about my language. And that you see it that way is disconcerting to me. But I'm going to move on. I will tell you that tomorrow night, when I come to do the show, I will have and I will be armed with information with what happened at the meeting tonight. Perhaps the man that wrote the letter will be there. Maybe there's an explanation. I'll bring that to you. In the meantime, we move on to another topic, although more disturbing perhaps than what we were talking about. Joining me now is Mr. Al Martin. Al is author of the book, The Conspirators, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider. He is also the founder of AlMartinRaw.com and a contributor to the Whistleblower Gazette. Al joins us today to talk about his latest column at AlMartinRaw.com. Al, as always, a pleasure to visit with you.
Tony, good evening.
Okay, you know, I got to tell you that on Sunday afternoon I did an interview with the BBC, by the way, and debated a very conservative talk show host out of Texas who, dear God, the poor man is blessed with the gift of words. Unfortunately, he had nothing to say of substance. I'm very concerned with what's happening in Iraq, as are many, many of the American people, Al. But your column this week is of equal importance and really very quite and very disturbing. And let me just read the headline, and we'll take it from there. The U.S. occupation of Iraq, depression, suicide, and chaos. Al, what the hell's going on over there?
Well, in the article, Tony, I mentioned that in the lead paragraph was the Department of Defense's suppression from its own medical units of the growing problem of depression and suicide among U.S. forces in Iraq, which came with a tandem report from the Inspector General's office concerning the problem of increasing crimes being committed by U.S. armed forces in Iraq, everything from theft to various assaults and sexual crimes against Iraqi civilians mostly. And in the report, which has been subsequently released on BBC, the culprits seem to be CENTCOM, our CENTCOM command, and they're incessant lying to our forces in Iraq regarding rotation schedules and the fact that these people have not been rotated since they've been there, despite incessant promises to the contrary.
All right. Now, let me just take a step back and answer these in the order, if you would, in which I give them to you. You talked about depression. Certainly that would be accepted in any time of war. What about drug use? What are we hearing about drug use among the troops in Iraq, the American troops in Iraq?
Another increasing problem that the State Department had asked the FBI not to submit its addendum report to the Department of Defense on the FBI's investigation of the problem of growing drug use in Iraq, particularly the use of heroin or heroin byproducts. The Department of Defense wants this suppressed, and they know that the core issue is their inability to rotate troops out of Iraq, simply because there is not enough troops left in the reserve pool to rotate them out from.
Okay, so drug use is an issue. You talk about suicide. Al, how serious is the suicide problem amongst the U.S. troops in Iraq?
It's not serious yet, but it apparently, according to the Department of Defense's Inspector General's report on this subject matter, it is of growing concern. And the Inspector General was concerned that CENTCOM command had been hiding suicides under the banner of actual combat or military casualties.
And so they're calling them KIAs or killed in actions is what they're doing.
That's what the Inspector General intimates. But the Department, of course, it's now almost impossible to verify any of this, since the Department of Defense is delaying the transfer of the bodies of KIAs back to the United States now and is not allowing any independent medical inspection or verification whatsoever.
All right. I'm sure that you read this weekend, and we actually talked about it when I was doing the Free Speech Zone. I had a guest on and talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the President Bush has absolutely put a moratorium on cameras, any media seeing the dead bodies come in from Iraq. They're no longer allowed to capture those images, whether in stills or in video. And you have to wonder if these issues are tied in somehow, because the body count's higher than we're actually hearing.
It's difficult if one is an average citizen or even a journalist. It really is almost impossible to get an accurate body count, because journalists now, there is no independent ability to search the DOD database on occupying forces in Iraq, and CENTCOM will give absolutely no information whatsoever.
All right, so we're faced with a situation where we have a dwindling pool of soldiers to pick from. We can't rotate them properly. We've got reservists doing work that they're not trained to do, on top of occupying forces that we're not trained to occupy.
Another problem, as I pointed out, and not only in this week's article, but I have pointed out in the past, is that we We had so scaled down the training of occupying troops, military, police, for instance, supply, logistical communications units, even mechanical and maintenance units that are used under the banner or moniker of an occupational force, that we are using essentially full combat-ready status or full table of organization troops in an occupational capacity, in a capacity for which they have not been trained. And then we wonder why we are seeing incessant deaths every day from bombs or sniper action, and why so-called secure governmental buildings in Baghdad cannot be secured. It's because we are asking these troops to perform functions that they were not trained to perform. Secondly, we are not giving them, nor do we have the ability to give them, the logistical communications intelligence support necessary to act as an occupational force.
So of all the billions of dollars that have been asked for and granted and are still being asked for, Al, where's the money going?
Well, the defense budgets, which have approximately doubled, if you include the normal extraordinary supplemental appropriations each year, Department of Defense budgets have approximately doubled since the ensconcement of the Bush-Cheney regime. The problem, of course, always is that 53% of those additional dollars are not being spent on conventional weapons or conventional forces or to increase the capability or size of conventional forces, but the same old Bushonian trick of diverting enormous amounts of money to no longer needed, outdated strategic weapon systems, 68% of which don't work at any given time. As I reported from the General Accounting Office report of September 14th of 2002.
Well, again, this
we're still spending, in short, we still are committed to multi-trillion dollar spending programs for strategic offensive thermonuclear weapon systems in a world that has already changed.
No, there's no question about that. Again, if you'd like to join us, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Either way is fine. My guest is Al Martin. Al, you know, we start to now look at things that that we have to look at, infrastructure, et cetera, beyond the fact that most people believe now we shouldn't be there. It's irrelevant. We're there. We're dealing with certain realities that seem to be making no sense. It seems that before the conflict, under the oppression of Saddam Hussein, at least they had running water, electricity, heat, food, et cetera, et cetera. Now, although some of it's coming back quite slowly, and let's make also the point that this was not U.S. bombs that stopped the infrastructure from working. That wouldn't be accurate. The reality is they're worse off now as far as living and making a living than they were before we went in there. It just, to me, further emphasizes that we really didn't know what we were getting into when we decided to do this.
Well, Bush likes to say that we liberated the Iraqi people. He's quite correct. We liberated them, as I point out, from running water, from medical care, from telephone service, from food, from fuel. We've done a wonderful job liberating them.
Well, you know, let me ask you, because we often forget in the dialogue to talk about Afghanistan and how are we doing in that occupied country?
Well, Afghanistan, as the United Nations reported recently in a memorandum to the Department of Defense on the UN annual assessment report of Afghanistan, which the Department of Defense refused to approve for public dissemination, Afghanistan now is completely destabilized. Approximately $78 billion of the American people's money that has been spent in Afghanistan in a variety of ways thus far has all been for naught. The Taliban regime has been reconstituted. It now controls most of the countryside. The only part of Afghanistan the United States still controls is some small cities in the eastern opium fields and Kabul itself. And even in Kabul itself, we note even control the entire capital anymore. our interim, the interim president there, the Bushonian puppet, Mohammad Karzai, for instance, cannot even leave his own presidential compound anymore.
And so they are less stable than they've ever been. In Iraq, we're less stable than it's ever been.
Iraq now, if one reads the UN annual assessment report, which is not, the Bush regime likes to criticize it by instantly affixing the UN label, the way the Bushonian regimes have traditionally attempted to discredit anything the UN says. But these assessment reports are essentially done by CIA personnel, and they're really not done by the United Nations, only under UN auspices. Iraq, frankly put, is now completely destabilized.
All right, and where do we go from there? Well, we'll have that discussion as well. I just find it absolutely unfathomable that the American people, a good majority of them still, find this president's doing a great job and support him. I can't fathom why that's happening, and we can dialogue about that too. Al Martin is my guest. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy. If you want to call us, 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back the other side of this. Stay with us.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today,
and the one doctors recommend most is Colace.
Join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
I am a popcorn.
Okay, here we go. That comic book show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something.
Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Yeah, 24 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday evening Mike Malloy program. I am Tony Trupiano, my guest Al Martin. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. If you do want to join us, you've got the number. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Feel free to contribute. Either way, we will go in Scott in Santa Fe. Scott, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. I understand that IE America has juggled everything with your show. I don't have a negative thing to say at all about the switch up that happened. With the new host, hostess, but I do miss you and your old show. I think it was excellent, and it's good to see you sitting in for Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say.
I do have a problem with, now not in general, but just in specific, with your guest in regard to his stance with the Kennedy assassination. Because in my mind, that's egregious. I think he should read Mark Lane's book, Plausible Denial, about E. Howard Hunt. And I'll leave that for another day. But I'm glad to see you sitting in because I think you are one of the best.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. And I'm sure that Jason will make sure that gets to network management. No question. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Jason just whispered in my ear, you should send an email, info@ieamericaradio.com.
Okay, noted.
All right, Scott, thanks. Al, I didn't realize that you had a position on the JFK assassination.
Neither did I.
Okay.
News to me.
All right. Well, I've interviewed you a couple hundred times now, if not more, and so that kind of came as a surprise to me. Is Scott still with us? No? Okay. I just wondered where he came from on that.
Perhaps it's confusing me with somebody else.
I don't think that happens to you often, Al Martin. I don't think you're often confused with anybody else.
Well,
and I mean that
me.
As a compliment, of course, Al. I mean that as, in no way as a compliment. Very quickly, let's just get back to the destabilization in Iraq, the destabilization in Afghanistan. And again, there seemingly is no plan to solidify economies. There seemingly is no plan to solidify a workforce and infrastructure in either one of these countries. We have, at least to my knowledge, a dwindling military pool. As citizens of this country, of course, we need to be concerned about this for a couple different reasons. But the most obvious is it really now further puts our young men and women in harm's way because for the foreseeable future, we're where we are. God forbid there's another major conflict in the world that we have to go fight.
Frankly, we could not fight another major conflict at this point. What the Bush-Cheney regime doesn't like to point out is that the U.S. Armed Forces only have at any given time 10 divisions at full table of organization. Frankly put, we do not maintain a large number of people in arms ready to enter a conflict. The Bush regime has consistently liked to blame that on defense budget cutbacks under Clinton, which is completely untrue. This reduction in armed forces personnel, particular combat personnel, began in 1982. And when the decision was made to reduce, consistently reduce defense spending on conventional weapons and troop numbers in favor of concentrating spending on strategic weapon systems. And, of course, during the Reagan-Bush years, particular attention was paid to spending over $2 trillion on strategic weapon systems that didn't work.
Well, and of course, you're talking very clearly about a Cold War mentality, which is perhaps and not only antiquated, but at this point where we're at in our history, it looks like decisions made during the Reagan-Bush years were not very smart decisions with respect to the military.
No, they were effectively lies. This concept that the Reagan-Bush supporters like to say that we turn the United States from the largest creditor nation on earth to the largest debtor nation on earth, and to justify that we broke the back of the evil empire, that is untrue.
All right, we're going to take a break. Jay in North Carolina on the phone when we continue. Everybody stay where they're at. I'm Tony Trupiano, back with Al right after this.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Or, of course, Tony at thetonyshow.com. Either way works. Al Martin is with me. He is author of the book, The Conspirators, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider. And he is the founder of lmartinraw.com. If you'd like to get your copy of Al's book, you can call toll-free 866-317-1390. That's 866-317-1390. Let's go to the phones and welcome Jay in North Carolina. Jay, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wondered, I heard Al on another talk show, on Alan Hadleman's talk show about a month ago, but I was wondering, I heard another fellow named Jim Mars mention something about that Osama bin Laden had sat in on some CIA meetings as a secret person. That what they did was they told him, now, you've got to use another name, so they gave him the name Tom Osman. And I also heard that the Bush administration and the Cheney administration had had a whole lot of ties with the bin Laden family, and I kind of wondered what he knew about it.
Well, Al has a lot of information on that. Go ahead, Al.
Well, the ties between Bush and Cheney, principally through the Carlyle Group and the Kissinger Group, into bin Laden Construction Consortium, are reasonably well known. We're not talking about anything that's a state secret here. The fact that on the very day of the bombings in New York, bin Laden's brother and Frank Carlucci were meeting at the Hyatt Regency only a few blocks away. The principal connection between Bush, by the way, and bin Laden is through bin Laden's uncle, who is the chairman of the bin Laden Construction Consortium. That consortium has a financial interest in the Carlyle Group's limited partnerships called the Carousel Group in Saudi Arabia. There is in that very same limited partnership, the Bush family, the principal Bush family financial entity, the shadowy and secretive Pilgrim Investment Trust, which is registered in Panama, also has a similar financial interest.
Right, and one more thing I heard about too. I heard that after 9/11 came about, that when they said, well, people can't fly out or something, a whole bunch of Saudi Arabians were allowed to fly out of the country. Is that true?
Yes, 28 Saudis, high-ranking Saudis, did leave the United States that had been housed at the Saudi embassy later that day.
Right, I appreciate that.
And when the Saudi government attempted to provide a list, as a matter of fact, to the media, to American media, of those people, you remember the Bush regime blocked it.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that. They said Saudis wanted to do it, and then they said, "Well, no, we're going to black out a lot of the printed material." I did hear that. Yeah, I sure did.
All right. Well,
I appreciate your call now,
Jay. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937 to join us, or the email Tony@thetonyshow.com. You know, Al, let's go to the 9/11 report for just a minute. Of course, the Bush administration keeps missing deadlines and being forthcoming on the 9/11 report.
Tony, let me clarify this, because there always seems to be confusion. There are two reports coming that were supposed to be rendered already. The first report is the Presidential Commission report, George Bush's own Presidential Commission report. The reason why that has been delayed is because the White House has been blocking so many of the subpoenas that have been issued by the commission to the CIA and FBI. Therefore, the Bush regime blocks subpoenas by the commission that it appointed to investigate this. The second, of course, is the so-called final report of the CIA, which, as we all know, the Bush regime 3 weeks ago pressured George Tenet into saying that what was released in recent weeks would not be the final report, but was, again, only the third interim report.
You know, Al, I got to ask you, and I don't, this isn't terribly off subject, why does George Tenet still have a job? I mean, this guy is the master bungler. Why does he still have a job?
George is a pretty savvy fellow. He's no bungler. My question has always been about George Tenet, is why has he allowed himself and the agency to be used as such a whipping boy?
All right. I sometimes forget, Al, that you're not as familiar. People are not as familiar with you as I am. And every time you and I get on the radio, it's old home week. Somebody asks us, somebody emails the question, Al's an Iran Contra insider. Please explain. Well, Al, please explain.
Well, as you know, Tony, and regular listeners know, I've spent much of my adult life in government, first at the State Department, then with the U.S. Navy, later with the National Security Council, during principally the Reagan-Bush regime. The book, The Conspirators, is an autobiography concerning my involvement and the real story of what Iran-Contra really was in the 1983 to 1986 years. And, you know, as I point out, and as Tony, as you always point out, what keeps Iran-Contra important today, why it's still in the news, why it is still salient, is because so many of the people that ran illegal covert operations for the Reagan-Bush regime are the very same people now in the Bush-Cheney regime. 150 of the top 300 appointees, sub-cabinet-level appointees in the Bush-Cheney regime are holdovers from the Reagan-Bush regime. And these are the most sinister people that I worked with in the past, Richard Armitage, Elliot Abrams, Richard Haass, etc. And they are in either exactly the same positions they were before or even higher positions.
Well, as this audience may or may not be aware, this president's father, George Bush I, is really made a remarkable effort in the international press to begin to distance himself from his son. And although many people find that to be a falsehood, it is not. This the former President Bush is really beginning to distance himself from his son. Why would that be?
A variety of reasons. George Bush Sr. is not who really calls the shots. Is not he's not concerned about his legacy, as many Republicans would like to have everyone believe. What he is concerned about is the end is coming. That is, Bushonomics cannot be sustained much longer. There is a period of hyperinflation and economic collapse, which is certainly coming. Also, I think that that George Bush is concerned because he was made nervous that when he thought he might be indicted by the Clinton regime early on for gross fraud and malfeasance against the American people. And I think that if a democratic regime is allowed, shall we say, to come to power in 05, that Senior is also concerned that Junior or various Bushonian allies may actually at some point be indicted.
Well, I just got an email from somebody, and David, thank you for your email. He goes on about how this president seems to get a pass from the media on everything, and he goes through a laundry list, including the 2000 election, which we won't get into tonight, yet he still enjoys a 56% approval rating. Al, you and I have talked on previous shows about quote-unquote polling numbers. You pointed out something to me that I found to be quite remarkable, and that is that the polls, especially the CNN poll, they go back to the same people every week. Is that the way I understood that?
Yeah, CNN's normal weekly poll, you see how manipulative it is. It's the same poll of 416 people every week. Furthermore, once that poll is done, you see how they craftily change the language in subsequent reporting of the poll on that day by saying now not a survey of 416 American people, but now it is the American people. As if the 416 were a representation of 300 million.
Yeah, that truly is my point. And people don't realize that when they see that, and maybe it is in the small print somewhere.
It is.
When they see that, they don't realize that they're polling the same 416 people every week. And depending on whether or not somebody's got PMS or a hemorrhoid bothering them, how that's going to affect the poll.
The polling organizations now, particularly true with Gallup Harris, have become much less reliable since they have formed relationships with various media outlets. it is very difficult now to find truly independent polling organizations. The only two that I believe are that are truly independent are Zogby and the Pew Institute Research.
And do they poll on the president's popularity?
They do. The most generally considered the most respected polling group in the country has always been the Pew Institute. And if you look at their completely non-political or apolitical, if you look at their polls, you will find that support for George Bush 2 is much less than the 55 or 56%.
All right. Well, and then, of course, the other thing I like to point out to people, Al, is you still to this day consider yourself a Republican.
Certainly. I mean, I am a I consider myself an RRS, a recovering Republican scamsketeer.
Okay. But, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, however, I you know, this not for everyone, but those that understand and know how to make money during Bushonian times should vote for Bush, as I pointed out before. On the day after the election of George Bush and Dick Cheney, the Smart Republican Money Index, an index that I track on my website, which tracks the investments of the top 10% of the nation, by the way, you see what they did. They went 100% short stocks, 100% long U.S. Treasury bonds, 100% long gold, and 100% short the U.S. dollar. And people who did that have made fortunes. Because Bushonomics is the policy of economic destruction. That trade profits by economic destruction that is visited upon us under Bushonomics.
Truly amazing. Let's talk a little bit about the economy. Lately, the spin we're getting is that the economy is on the rebound, although anticipated job losses continue to climb. More and more people are out of work. So there's some false optimism. Yeah, the markets have rallied a bit as of late, Al. But I still don't see a turnaround in everyday, real living wage jobs in this country. And read a report today that the soonest we might see some growth in real jobs will not come until the second or third quarter of 2004. What are your thoughts on that?
Even that's a maybe. The administration touted heavily the release last week of the estimated third-quarter gross domestic product at 7.2%, the highest quarter-to-quarter increase since 1983, which is true. The problem is the nature of that increase, what that increase involved, how we got to those numbers, through depletion of wholesale and business inventories that were not replaced, for example, through one-time special increases in governmental spending, through the expiration of certain tax allowances which allowed business and inventory to sell inventory at a loss yet still record a gain. Those special tax preferences expire at the end of this year. There were many anomalous factors included in this GDP gain, frankly, that will not be repeated in the fourth quarter.
And so what does that, just bottom line it for us, Al. You know, we did see that the S&P was up. We saw that the NASDAQ was up, although not today, but the losses were marginal.
Well, we had a tremendous rally off the February low. But what people must remember is that this is still a bull move or a rally within a secular bear market. This does not constitute the formation, nor does it meet the qualifications for being a new bull market, nor should it. Bull markets traditionally don't form under Bushonomics. Bushonomics, after all, is the myth of debt finance prosperity. It's difficult for new bull markets to be formed at a time of rapid accumulation of governmental, business and industry, and private debt, frankly.
Well, another reality, and it's something that I just want to remind this audience of, yes, we do need to oust Bush and Cheney from office in the next election cycle, and you need to go out in record numbers to do that. But, Al, the stark reality is whoever is the president of this country after the next election cycle is in for an impossible mess to clean up. Can we turn our economy around?
Let's put it this way, Tony. For those who think that under a would-be Dean Clark regime, everything is going to be peaches and cream, it isn't. It took the Clinton administration, its entire first term in office, simply to stabilize the economic mess that it had inherited before it could produce budget surpluses in its second term. Whoever, if a Democratic regime follows the Bush-Cheney regime, they will be inheriting a substantially larger mess than what Clinton did. Therefore, don't look for any miracles out of this thing. They are going to inherit an economy wherein debt has been increased by more than $2 trillion at the federal level. And they will inherit an accrued budget deficit, which by that time will be $700 or $800 billion a year.
Wow. Those are big numbers. All right, another quick break. We'll come back and wrap up with Al Martin on the other side of this. If you want to join us, 1-800-825-5937. Or again, send an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Al Martin is with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up this hour on the other side of this. Stay with us.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol. But not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquid Gels. Advil Liquid Gels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquid Gels, 15 minutes faster.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Marianne Williamson Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm glad you're with me. I will be on every Monday through Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Lawford.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. Al Martin again, my guest. His book, The Conspirators, available at bookstores, or call 866-317-1390. Go to almartinraw.com. Let's go to the phones and welcome Marianne, listening in Illinois. Marianne, welcome to the show. You have a comment for us?
Yes, well, actually, I have a question for Al Martin. Boy, I've listened to you for quite a long time on the Mike Malloy Show, and I think I'm probably now more out there than you are. I am beginning to believe that this next election may not even be relevant. I mean, these guys have a whole year to keep looting and gutting and destroying, and man, they haven't slowed down one bit. And I'm afraid that even if, say, one of the Democrats, as some as you mentioned, yeah, even if they're allowed to have a Democrat in the White House, I mean, what good will that do when they've privatized half the army, when they've just gutted our economy, when, you know, various non-national consortia like the Carlyle Group are effectively running things and making their deals all over the planet? I mean, you know, what do you see a way out? I really would like to be slightly optimistic.
Marianne, you are correct in pointing out that even a fiscally conservative Democratic regime, a la the Clinton regime, that is prepared to exercise real fiscal restraint, as was done during the Clinton terms in office, cannot reverse the economic damage done to the United States from 1984 to 1992 and from 2001 to present or to then. This damage cannot, frankly, be reversed. We are beyond the point of no return. You're correct in pointing that out. The only thing that can be done is the economic decline can be temporarily stabilized and then gradualized. But frankly, the total debt of the United States now exceeds 300% of its gross domestic product. It isn't that it is economically impossible to reverse the damage done by Reagan, Bush, Bush, Cheney. It is that it would be politically impossible to reverse the damage, because the spending cuts and tax increases that would be necessary in order to reverse the damage, no Democratic Party could ever sell to the American people, when the American people do not understand the extent of the damage.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, but what's going to make them understand the extent of the damage? I mean, like, before it's way too late.
When it unravels.
Well, when
the only way the American people have ever understood anything is when it hits them in the face.
Well, and that's where we're at right now. Unfortunately, Al, we're out of time. Marianne, thank you for your call. David, sorry that we couldn't get to yours. Again, go to lmartinraw.com to get the book, 866-317-1390. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take a quick break. One more hour of the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
a
different...
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. military canceled some daytime operations by CH-47 Chinook helicopters Monday after Iraqi insurgents downed one the day before, killing 16 soldiers and wounding 21 others. The Coalition Press Information Center said that a few flights were canceled and that security procedures were in place to protect ongoing trips. The military earlier had said only nighttime flights would continue. The decision to limit flights came a day after insurgents shot down one of two helicopters carrying dozens of soldiers on their way to Baghdad Airport and rest and relaxation leave. It was the heaviest U.S. death toll in any single action since the invasion of Iraq on March 20th. Senator Bob Graham, who ended his bid for the Democratic nomination for president last month, announced Monday that he will not seek re-election to a fourth term in the U.S. Senate. Graham said he wants to continue his public work, including creating an institute to train future Florida leaders and helping to improve national security. He also wants to spend more time with his wife, Adele, his children, and grandchildren. The decision further complicates Democrats' hopes to regain control of the Senate, where Republicans hold a 51-48 majority with one Democratic-leaning independent. The Supreme Court refused Monday to enter the battle over a monument depicting the Ten Commandments and the renegade judge who wants to put it back on display in an Alabama courthouse. The court quietly rejected appeals from suspended Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, who had argued the monument properly acknowledges God as the source of the community morality so essential to a self-governing society. Moore was suspended as Chief Justice after defying a federal court order to remove the monument. He goes on trial before the Alabama Court of the Judiciary on November 12th on judicial ethics violation charges. More IE American News after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
The oldest person in the world, Kamato Hongo, died on Friday at age 116, a spokesman for a hospital in southern Japan said. She had been in hospital in the city of Kagoshima for several weeks, according to a relative. Born in 1887, when Japan was gradually opening up to the world after more than two centuries of isolation, Hongo was known for her love of dancing and for sleeping 2 days and then staying awake for the next two. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Sometimes I miss the old days. Remember back when war profiteering actually was thought to be a bad thing? Indeed, Harry Truman considered it treason. But hey, that's so old school. In these modern times of corporate coziness with Washington, war profiteering is business as usual, just another of the entitlements that flow from corporate campaign contributions. And far from denouncing it, top officials applaud it, ably assist it, and even become profiteers themselves. Dick Halliburton Cheney, for example, is the poster boy of the ever-revolving door between the Pentagon and war profiteers. But now, multi-billion dollar profiteering by such names as Halliburton, Bechtel, and Boeing has become such a booming business that a new kind of corporate consultant has sprung up, profiteering facilitator. These are political insiders who use their Washington connections to help paying clients get fat government contracts from us taxpayers to do this or that in Iraq. Many of these boondoggles are awarded out of the political offices of the White House and Pentagon with no competitive bids and little or no congressional oversight. Among the profiteering facilitators to set up shop is Joe Albaugh, a longtime Texas political crony of George W.'s who was appointed honcho of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, Joe has spun through the government's revolving door to open New Bridge Strategies, getting huge fees paid by corporations that want Joe's guidance on getting a piece of that $87 billion that the Bushites are dumping into Iraq this year. Of course, facilitators like Joe see no ethical conflict in profiteering on their connections. Albaugh has proven to be ethically clueless, saying, "Because my friend is president of the United States, I'm supposed to check out of life?" This is Jim Hightower saying, "No, Joe, just check out of being a corrupt pig."
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody, to the third and final hour of this Tuesday night Mike Malloy program. A pleasure to sit in. I appreciate all the emails, some old friends and some new. New enemies as well. That's okay. It's part of the game here in the radio business. Again, if you'd like to join us throughout this hour, 1-800-825-5937. The email address, again, for your questions and comments, tony@thetonyshow.com. Either way works for me. I'd like to introduce you to now our guest this hour. Joining us is Mr. Yuri DeBanco. Yuri is author of the book Bushwhacked. He is also editor of ConspiracyPlanet.com. Lots to talk about on our agenda this evening. Yuri, always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for having me, Tony. What's this about enemies now?
Well, you know, the people misunderstood where I was coming from in the first hour of the show. I was talking about a letter that had been circulated, and people thought I was being anti-Islamic. And, you know, I've been doing radio, Yuri, almost full-time for 8 or 9 years now, and it still amazes me how people only hear what they want to hear.
Uh-huh.
So it was truly a matter of that. I certainly, there was nothing that I said, at least in my opinion, that was anti-Islam. But we'll leave people to their own devices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your good friend Al Martin with us in the last hour. We talked about lots of things, including the horrendous mess we've got in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's not why I have you here tonight, though, Yuri. I was hoping that we could discuss a couple different issues that would be of interest to this audience. One of them, and I think this should be an issue that people need to be aware of and will not hear anywhere else, and that is, it's little news coming out, but it's actually implications are quite large out of the University of St. Louis. Mark Buller, again, the name is not well known. Perhaps nobody will ever know it, but the truth is, we need to know who Mark Buller is, and we need to know what's going on at the University of St. Louis. So help us out here, Yuri.
Well, according to the New Scientist magazine from last week, Mark Buller got a grant, a federal grant, for so-called research. And what Mr. Buller and his research team had done is they have genetically manipulated the mousepox virus, which is a relative of both smallpox and if you remember this summer, there was an outbreak of so-called monkeypox, which was claimed that it was due to importation of guinea pigs to pet stores, and this monkeypox. These are all evidently related diseases, and what Mr. Buller and his research team have evidently done is they have made the mousepox virus, they've genetically manipulated it so that it is impervious to treatment from vaccines or any other defenses. In other words, once these mice were given this genetically manipulated mousepox virus, they all died.
And I guess I ask the obvious question, why should that be of concern to the American people?
Well, one of the concerns that I personally have, I don't think it's alarmist. I don't think it's too far-fetched. The ability of these genetic scientists, genetic engineers, to manipulate the DNA codes by inserting or deleting various sequences is that they are able to use these eventually. I'm 100% sure that these things, this so-called research, will be eventually used as biowarfare weapons. The idea of cross-genic species of viruses is something that has not been contemplated. And when you think of the past, the history of what smallpox has done in terms of decimating human populations, it's pretty an awesome idea and concept as a biowarfare weapon.
And of course, you always run the risk of some kind of espionage, this information getting into the wrong hands, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, if it can happen here, we can assume that these kinds of experiments are happening in other parts, less friendly parts of the world, Yuri.
You can assume that. I'm not necessarily assuming that. I'm just, the implications of it are that, first of all, you're right, you're absolutely right that these experiments, this genetic manipulation, can be done in other places by whoever hires the best genetic scientists, because they're all up for grabs. They're all can be bought and sold. And again, that's one of the dangers. The second danger, the replication danger. In other words, that some so-called unfriendlies replicate the experiments. The other danger is, obviously, of these genetically manipulated viruses, which have no antidotes, escaping from the labs that the U.S. government has, or the research teams that are set up in various universities around the country. One of the interesting things is, I think, in Boston, there's a controversy about a biowarfare or just a virus so-called research lab being set up in a residential section of Boston, in the South End, I believe. And the residents are clearly upset, as anybody would be in their right mind, that such a dangerous facility would be set up in a residential area.
All right, we're going to go to the phones and take some calls. If you want to join us again, 1-800-825-5937. And the email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go to the phones and welcome David in South Carolina. David, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, very good. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Enjoyed the show. I listened to you on Sirius, and the first thing, of course, I was upset because I had preempted you for a hockey game. Not that I'm against hockey, but I, as a listener, I certainly enjoy your program. And for some reason, we seem to have it now. Second thing I was going to point out was you're talking about the viruses and the items like this. What are the possibilities, as the Bush administration seems to be declining in popularity, that they could import or export some of this stuff directly into Iraq and say these are the weapons of mass destruction? I know that I think Fox News has probably reported 100 times that they found weapons of mass destruction. But I guess my concern is something like this virus getting out before elections and or also apprehending Saddam and these other people in this administration, you know, making them look like heroes. I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
All right, Yuri, I'll let you start.
Well, one of the things, I guess, the caller is right, David. You're right that this could be used as an obvious ploy. It should be remembered that historically, the Bush One administration, during the so-called Iraq Gate scandals, which was in the early '90s late 1980s, under the Bush administration, various biological and biochemical weapons were sold to Iraq, to Saddam Hussein, through the subterfuge of agricultural loans through the BNL Bank in Banco Nazionale del Lavoro Bank, branch bank in Atlanta, Georgia. And this is a historical record. There was findings by the congressional committees and this entire debacle, which, if not orchestrated by the Bush cabal during that time, was certainly sanctioned by them. And this is what gave Saddam Hussein in Iraq the ability to use biochemical and biological warfare against the Iranians, who were considered the bad guys, since the United States was supporting Iraq at the time. So anything's possible. I mean, this subterfuge goes on and on, so I guess they could find them. Or who knows what lurks in the minds of the Bush cabal.
Well, and let's also be mindful that dating back to the early 1940s, this president, as every president since then, has the ability to call an election for issues of national security. If he feels that the election would put the American people in harm's way, he can call an election. He can stall an election indefinitely. That is the law, by the way, and it's a law that every president's been able to use and has had at his disposal since the early 1940s. Will this administration do that? Well, I don't know, but certainly, Yuri and David, you know, there are many scenarios that could happen. We don't have Saddam Hussein yet. We don't have Osama bin Laden. Those would certainly be nice public relations moves now, wouldn't they? But will the issue of weapons of mass destruction ever go away? You know, the administration is now saying that they were moved to Syria before we attacked, and that's where they're at.
Well, also, if you remember what Tariq Aziz, and we don't know how much to believe him, whether he's more believable or unbelievable than the Bush administration, but Tariq Aziz, who was Saddam Hussein's propaganda minister, whatever you want to call it, I guess his counterpart would be Scott McClellan here, Scott McClellan being the propaganda meister for Bush, said that there were no weapons that Saddam Hussein poker played, that it was a bluff. And the only reason Saddam Hussein did it, he was actually shocked when the United States did invade. He was shocked because they thought it was, again, he was hoodwinked, as he was in 1991. They didn't think the United States would invade, or thought they were kidding. And, again, there were no weapons, but Saddam Hussein made it appear that they may or may not be, simply to keep this macho pose in front of his fellow Middle Eastern dictator types.
I think overall it's been fairly effective. I think actually Saddam's approach, interestingly enough, has been effective in terms of alienating other countries away from the United States. And I think that Saddam probably played his cards very carefully by not having any weapons of mass destruction, if that's the case. However, the whole point really boils down to the fact that, in my opinion, there was no reason to invade Iraq anyway.
Of course not.
We should have been in Afghanistan, or we should have been working at one thing at a time. It's like this administration, somewhat ADD. They're just kind of shooting all over the place here. So,
and there are certainly, David, let's make the point, there are certainly greater threats to this country than Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi people. And, we heard L. Martin say in the last hour, and Yuri, I'm sure you're going to agree with this, we can ill afford, as a matter of fact, we cannot afford another major conflict that we would have to defend. We just don't have the military personnel at this point to do that.
That's exactly right. And it also should be noted that no Democratic candidate has yet said that we should get out as soon as possible, that this is a mistake. Nobody's owned up that to confess that this is a mistake, this is a Bush cabal problem, and we're getting out of there. Nobody said that. None of the Democrats have any balls to say that up to this
All right.
point.
Yuri, hold that thought. David, thank you for your call. 1-800-825-5937. We'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pound peaks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51.
I was 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Never Better with Marina Colby, Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern.
This week on Never Better, join us. Our guest is author and behavior expert, Leah Lowndes. She's written several books. Her most recent, How to Talk to Anyone. She'll tell us how to make a good first impression at work or on a date, and among other things, how to tell if someone is lying. Join us on Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Never Better, here on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Welcome back. 24 minutes after the hour, my guest, Yuri Dabenko. Go to conspiracyplanet.com for more information to get a copy of Yuri's book, Bushwhacked. Call 866-317-1390. And ask for it or find it in bookstores. We're going to go back to the phones if you want to join us. 800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. John in Santa Fe, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, Tony. I'm sorry that you seem to be dropped from the roster. Is that what happened? You're being replaced by...
I'm no longer on in the free speech zone, and they've replaced the show with Marianne Williamson.
Well, it's a sad trade-off. I feel I can appreciate and relate to both of you. I could see her replacing some other show. It's too bad it's yours. You've done a great job, and I have always appreciated your interviews with Al Martin.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Did you have a comment, John, for Yuri?
Yes. For one thing, I just wanted to remind him that even today on the News Bites, Dennis Kucinich was saying we've got to get out right away, and he's been saying it from the beginning. So it's wrong that there's no candidate. In fact, I'm quite astounded all the time when people talk about, you know, what a poor roster there is against Bush and so on. There's never any mention or analysis of Kucinich. It seems like even the people who are dissatisfied with Bush seem to have no awareness that he's on the horizon.
No, listen, you're absolutely right. I stand corrected. Kucinich has kept saying that, so you're absolutely right. And for some reason, I guess they're doing such a good job that he's even marginalized in a lot of people's minds that he shouldn't be.
Yes, I think he's really saying important things and has been. And also, consistently, he walks his talk, whereas the others are kind of Republicans in disguise, I feel, personally, anyway.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I did want to go back to you, Tony. When I tuned in, you had made a remark that I also wanted to question. You said that we really weren't responsible for destroying the infrastructure of Iraq. It already was that way. What about those 12 years of bombing and the boycotts and so on, so many supplies? I thought they had a pretty healthy structure considering. And then we went in and finally really bombed them out.
Well, certainly that we created some destruction through our bombing. If I made it sound like we were not responsible for any of the infrastructure going wrong, that is not true. The other thing that we don't know, John, for sure, is how much of the infrastructure was destroyed by the Iraqis at the insistence of Saddam when we began bombing. You have to know that as asinine as our government currently is, as irresponsible as this Bush administration is, they knew that they were going to have running water and electricity for their own use. So I am sure that they were more careful in where they were bombing at certain strategic points. How much of this was at the hands of Saddam Hussein as they were bombing? What was he ordering the infrastructure to be destroyed? I just can't answer that question.
Right. It does remain up in the air. I think, though, the focus needs to be on the fact that we destroyed something that now we're paying billions of dollars to rebuild. Doesn't matter if they also destroyed a little bit of it. We had the gall to go in there. I suppose we pushed his buttons. You know, the thing is, I don't know who said it recently, you know, it's like the bus is going in the wrong direction, and you have two parties arguing as who's going to be the driver. And that's really we've got to put a halt to that. We've got to change our thinking. And I will also add, as a PS, that I think Marianne Williamson is a contribution to this examination, because she's talking about something that is constantly left out when we get into a blame mentality. That is, we can't change anything out there unless we ourselves are willing to change. And some of that change can be, yes, go register and vote. But if we have hate and anger and fear in our hearts, nothing's going to change out there.
Okay, well, John, I appreciate your comments, and you're right. Change does begin at home. I've said that many, many times myself. Yuri, stay right where you're at. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back on the other side. 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Mike. We'll take the break and be back right after this.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real tomorrow.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
She sucks. Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hooks for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory system?
You know, well, Suzanne said that was something that she was hoping
out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling.
You know,
why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks?
Now that they've got it, and it'll take some time to settle in.
When they get overweight and too much hardening of the artery here.
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, that dude.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, Just say no.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
No, she avoids everyone.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Welcome back. You've got the number, 33 minutes after the hour. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Yuri DeBenko is with me. He is author of the book Bushwhacked, the first book Bushwhacked. The only one that matters is by Yuri DeBenko. And you can find it in bookstores or by calling 866-317-1390. Conspiracyplanet.com is where you'll find a lot of Yuri's current writing. Yuri, what else going on that we should know about, that we don't know about?
Well, what else is going on? There's certainly the last week or so, there was the Diana story. Did you hear about those?
You know, you had mentioned that to me. Why don't we talk a little bit about that now? Because, you know, and of course, when stuff makes news over the weekend, it's often not noticed by most people. They're actually talking about exhuming her body. Why would they be talking about that, Yuri?
Now, that I had not heard. Maybe you can tell me.
I had heard that they were considering exhuming her body to... Because the autopsy that was done was perhaps not done in haste, but that the actual report was falsified.
Yeah, that's very likely, I would imagine. Because at the time, I'll tell you, one of the things that I had actually heard from sources in Europe and in the UK was that she was an inconvenient woman. After she had divorced Prince Charles, and she was going with Dodi, who is considered to be less than somebody a royal or even a former royal should be involved with. One of my sources has said that she was indeed murdered, and the trademark or the evidence is that a former MI6 agent by the name of Richard Tomlinson had written a sworn affidavit, I think from dating from the year 1999, in which he said that while he was a MI6 agent, which is a British Secret Service, he had seen documents that his superior, one of his superiors, had shown him that described a plot to kill the President Slobodan Milosevic, which was surprisingly, or not surprisingly, similar to the way that Diana was killed. And that was simply that there was a it was meant for her in the car to go into a tunnel, and at which point I think they were traveling around 100 plus miles an hour. A flash gun, which was basically like a strobe light, a very powerful light, and I think this had to do with the Fiat that was later found destroyed. Somebody flashed this light. It disoriented the driver. The driver lost orientation and the ability to continue in the course where the tunnel was, the underground tunnel. The car crashed, and she died. And evidently, again, this is from the source in a former intelligence source in the UK, that she did have a DNC performed on her while she was either dead or dying.
And for what purpose?
Well, ostensibly to remove evidence of her pregnancy.
So that she was actually pregnant. Well, again, they may exhume her body. At least that was the information that was making the popular media this weekend. Of course, on the weekend, it's buried. Nobody sees it, and away it goes.
Yeah.
And I would think in this world of American political deception, most people in this country are going, so what?
Yeah, well, this is, again, going to be one of those you know, for people that like to discuss these kind of things. I think the Princess Diana murder and the JFK assassination and 9/11, you know, all of these are high-level spectacular scams that are used to bamboozle people, to drive fear into them, into us. And again, you know, to go into what the previous caller talked about, the spiritual aspect of this is that it seems clear to me, at least, that this is you know, all these different activities is what's been typically called in the spiritual sense, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the fact that we have the Bush crime family running the country is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, ipso facto evidence of this horrendous karma that we have as a nation, as a people, for all the crimes against humanity that this nation has committed, with us being the supposed responsible citizens. I mean, this is the bottom line, that we are responsible for what our evil leaders do, and the karma will come back, and it is coming back. And I think the ignorance and the lack of discernment that the American people have is subject to that. The density compounds upon itself, and it makes people more dense and more stupid and more ignorant, and it doesn't seem to have an end.
I'm getting some emails in. For some reason, they were delayed. A lot of people, of course, are correcting you, and of course, you've already admitted that yes, Kucinich certainly has been aware that you know, there is. I'm sorry, that Kucinich has been very vocal in his opposition to the war, and I've got quite a few emails going on about that. Let me, you know, Yuri, one of the things that we broke when I was doing the daytime show was a story by John Buchanan, the link between the Bush family and the Nazi Party and Hitler's regime. Unfortunately, as we had feared, nothing much came of the story, although it's a very credible story. It certainly can be tracked. It certainly can be verified. All the documentation was there. I haven't really talked to you since that day. You had actually put a special report together with all the documents, Yuri. What has happened since, I don't know, it's been 3 or 4 weeks now?
Well, since there, John Buchanan has had another story published, which we've republished on conspiracyplanet.com. It's there. I titled it Treason. And he talks about, it's an interview actually with John Loftus, who is the author. He's a former Department of Justice prosecutor during the 1980s. He's written several books. One is called Unholy Alliance, which is about the Nazis in the Vatican. Another was called The Secret War Against the Jews. And John Loftus, this has been his particular mission, so to speak, is to talk about the collusion of American, various American interests and their support of totalitarian regimes. This interview with John Loftus that John Buchanan did shows the length to which the American so-called mainstream media has covered up this story, and it also ties into, again, the not only the Bush, Prescott Bush and George Walker's, who's another ancestor of George W. Bush, George Bush Jr., their collusion and conspiracy, criminal conspiracy, to support the Nazi regime with war material and so on. And as John Buchanan correctly pointed out, and documents from the National Archives show, that the various Bush front organizations were forced to disgorge millions of dollars in profit because of the Trading with the Enemy Act. The other thing that Mr. Loftus brings to the subject is the understanding that Bush, Prescott Bush, was partners with Averill Harriman, Bunny Harriman, and Brown Brothers Harriman, which is a Wall Street investment banking firm. So they were, again, this reinforces the groundbreaking and pioneering work of the late Anthony Sutton, who is the author of books like Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, The Best Enemy Money Can Buy, which primarily brought evidence to the table that the United States, especially the Wall Street, the banking community, had a relationship with companies in the Soviet Union and in Nazi Germany, which supported them, aided them, and abetted them, and did, in his words, create the best money enemy that money can buy. So this reiterated John Loftus was very happy with John Buchanan's research and his article. But again, the way this story was published, and then it was taken, picked up by AP, and AP, again, in their typical fashion to muddy the waters, distorted the story, distorted the facts, most importantly, and the thing sunk like a rock, as could be expected.
Well, there was, for a short period of time, a dialogue that began to ratchet up, as I'm sure you heard Sheldon Drobny, who is the main money man behind a new media entity that is that has been formed and is supposed to begin broadcasting. It was supposed to begin months ago, hasn't begun yet. He had also brought up the story of John Buchanan. It was actually discussed, I believe, on Fox News. And during an interview segment, it was a very short segment. Again, it goes nowhere. And I know the frustration, and I feel the frustration of the American people when we continue to talk about issues on shows like this and the show that I was doing during the daytime, Yuri, and it goes nowhere. Nobody ever seems to, and when I say nobody, the mainstream media just never seems to have the to have the courage to tell the American people the truth. And obviously this goes back to, you know, media conglomerates, mostly Republican media conglomerates controlling the airwaves, both on radio and television.
Absolutely. Well, there's no reason. It's not a, you know, there's no reason for them to publish information or broadcast information that's inimical to their agenda and to their aims. I mean, if I mean, it makes no sense for them to give credence to anything that would destroy the very elaborate mythology that they've created through Fox News and the other Bush Channel communications that would disrupt this wonderful illusion that they've created and that people are mesmerized by.
Well, again, it's a shame. Another recent story on conspiracyplanet.com deals with a former CIA agent, Ed Wilson, who was convicted of really quite a horrific crime, but that sentence has been thrown out, Yuri.
Yeah, the sentence was thrown out, and we published a story about that, and the fact that I remember I told Al the story, and he hadn't heard about it, but his comment immediately was Al Martin's comment was that Ed Wilson has done his quote penance, and he had served 20 years out of I don't remember, I think it was 65 or some incredible amount of years that they'd sentenced him to. And he said in his defense that he had done all these different things, these so-called terrorist activities, selling explosives, C4, and selling other weapons to Libya and doing other things. It was on the behest of the CIA, and the CIA disowned him at that point, and he became a scapegoat. And one of the key issues, again, that people should watch if they're interested in this, is the fact that Stanley Sporkin, who was a former CIA counsel under Bill Casey, and when Bill Casey was CIA director and SEC, head of the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, Sporkin was his number two man. He was then rewarded with the position of judge, federal circuit judge, where he was able to manipulate cases so that information would not get out. And he was actually involved in the Ed Wilson case, and he vehemently decried the decision by Judge Lynn Hughes, but she really lambasted him in this statement. It was a 24-page decision in which Ed Wilson's case was thrown out, that they had lied, they were disingenuous, and this is what Al Martin in his book The Conspirators calls the liability control people, specialists, Stanley Sporkin, guys like D. Lowell Jensen, who's a judge in California. They were all former CIA operatives and or collusionists, if you will, and they were the ones that make sure that cases which need to be quashed or need to be people need to be put away, that they're there. Also, coincidentally, another case, which I've written about in the book Bushwhacked, in the chapter called Up Against the Beast, Jeffrey McDonald, who was sentenced to God knows how many years in prison. He's been in prison 33 years, was interviewed on Larry King last week. And Jeffrey McDonald was another guy that evidently he was involved on Fort Bragg. He was treating heroin addicts, returning Vietnam soldiers, and again he was murdered, and he was set up for the murder of his wife, which also is parallel to the case of Billy Tyree in Fort Devens in Massachusetts. So all these different things. I mean, they don't have too many plays. They play the same scams over and over again. They set up these people as scapegoats, and they put them away. People that got too close, didn't know what they were doing, got too close to various illicit operations, drug trafficking operations. They were on base, on the Army bases. They were put away, and all these. Right now, I think Jeffrey McDonald is waiting for the results of DNA tests, which he and his attorney believe will show that he was not responsible for the murder of his wife. But again, the Department of Justice has been dragging their feet for, I think, 6 months or a year, some incredible amount of time. Also, how this goes on and on, this network. The other case that people should know about is the case of Catherine Austin Fitz, who's the lead character in the first chapter of my book, Bushwhacked. Catherine Austin Fitz is now in court in Washington, and she's finally got her day in court after 6 years, and her initial judge, the judge that cheated her out of the legal process, was, again, Judge Stanley Sporkin, who is now with the law firm Gottschall and Gottschall, I think, and Walk or something, in Washington, D.C. So the fact that these two cases, Catherine Austin Fitz and the Ed Wilson case, which were both officiated by Stanley Sporkin, means to some that somebody's decided that the Republican, the old Republican money, has decided that the Bush cabal may go. So that's right. Hopeful news for your listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's hope that's hopeful news. One more quick break. We'll come back and wrap up today after this. I'm Tony Trupiano, Yuri DeBenko, my guest. Stay with us.
What's the one key ingredient missing from the relief of allergies that hurt? The pain reliever in Advil. Yes, Advil. New Advil Allergy Sinus is a one-of-a-kind formula that takes the pain out of allergies in a whole new way. A recent study showed that when Advil is combined with its allergy medicine, you get better relief of your worst allergy symptoms, all with less of the medicine that makes you drowsy. Advance to new Advil Allergy Sinus and stop allergies that hurt.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have an expense account. Eh, what's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to be the stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court, Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. Again, the email tony@thetonyshow.com. We get ready to wrap up in this hour for today, actually. We'll be back tomorrow night. Mike will be back on Thursday, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. I'm sure they all miss him, Yuri. Yuri DeBenko, my guest. Again, he is author of the book Bushwhacked. If you would like your copy, again, at bookstores, or simply call 866-317-1390. That's another way to get it. And you'll want to check out conspiracyplanet.com. Welcome back, Yuri.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah, well, several of the chapters people should know, too, if they want to see what the book is like. Several of the chapters of the book are online at conspiracydigest.com as well, so you can see what, in fact, the first chapter, Bushwhacked, is there. It's an article I wrote a while back, and other interesting things, an interview with Al Martin called Double Crossed, and some other interesting things that I guess people call the case studies in corporate and government crime. So a lot of fun, interesting, and informative information there.
You know, Yuri, before I let you get away, and I forgot to ask Al about this tonight, we just got so wrapped up in the other things we were talking about. Al is actually advancing a theory, and I don't know if it's a theory or based on some information that I'm not aware of, that Rush Limbaugh actually has AIDS.
Yeah, this is evidence. I don't know about a theory, but the evidence is that he looks like evidently he's all hollowed out, and You know, the people that have seen him up close have said that he has all the outer appearance of somebody that's taking the AIDS cocktail, the so-called AIDS cocktail. So we'll know. I mean, it's certainly, if that's what it is, I think it'll be the best kept, as Al joked, that it'll be a state secret, J. Edgar Hoover. And again, if it turns out that he is gay, I don't think the gay community is going to embrace him. What do you think?
No, I can assure you that the gay community would not be embracing in any way, shape, or form Rush Limbaugh. There's no question about that. You know, you hate to see anybody. You know, I'm ultimately a good guy at heart, and you hate to see anybody suffering, whether it be from AIDS or from drug addiction. Rush Limbaugh, you got to be careful what you say because it comes back to.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a case in point. I mean, this is going to be the greatest cosmic irony if that's true. That he was ranting about drugs, he ranting about gays, about AIDS, and this and that, and this, you know, the whole karmic hammer goes kaboom.
Absolutely. Yuri, thank you so much. A pleasure visiting with you. That'll do it for me for tonight. Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy. I'll be back tomorrow. Mike will be back Thursday. In the meantime, it was fun spending time with you. I'll be back tomorrow. As always, I ask that you be well. Miracles will
happen. You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. But we're never going to survive.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush.